to see this number out this morning with your Bibles ready to study. What a joy it is on the first day of the week to come together with those who have a desire to worship the Lord in spirit and truth, to give Him honor and praise. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know we consider you an honored guest. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that Brother Craig has suggested. If you've not put Christ on in baptism, we want you to know all things have been made ready. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled. If you would confess Jesus as the Christ, and upon your confession be buried in the grave of baptism, every sin will be blotted out and you'll be added to the spiritual family of God. Or if you need to be restored to Christ, while we're standing and singing, we'll be praying that you would come forward and make your desire to be made right with God. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn to the book of Matthew in the 5th chapter, I want to read with you beginning at verse 38. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. I don't know how many lessons I've preached in regard to the lessons from the Sermon on the Mount. But as I was making a study from the book of Matthew in the 5th chapter, I believe that there is one simple statement that I have overlooked time and time again. If you have your Bible in the book of Matthew and the 5th chapter, notice the statement in verse 41, "Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too." I believe there is enough in that one statement that it could cause individuals to change their attitude. And it could change the affairs of this nation. It could change the affairs of the home. And it could change the affairs of local churches. And it is my desire at this time to give some serious consideration and attention to this one verse and hope that we will gain something. The first thing I want us to look at is the background of the text. Sometimes it is of necessity we get the background and the setting of a text before us so we can really appreciate it. And I think it's true of this one verse. In the book of Matthew in the 5th chapter, Jesus is preaching to a people that had been occupied. Their country had been occupied by the Roman power. And whenever the Roman Empire had conquered a new province or a new city, they would bring a yoke, a Roman yoke, and they would put it in the marketplace or in one of the principal gates to the city. And sometimes they would make all of the inhabitants of that city, or sometimes they would just make the leaders of that city, walk through the yoke. And this was to signify and promise that they would be obedient to the Roman power, that they would give their obedience to the Roman power and not be rebellious. And so in your Bible, in the book of Matthew in the 5th chapter, when they are talking about going the extra mile, I want us to understand that whenever a Roman soldier wanted someone to carry his pack for him, that by law they were compelled, by the Roman law, to take it at least 1 mile. That was a must. So no matter what you were doing, you could be tending your business in the marketplace, you could have your own market there, and you could be selling your goods for the day, and a Roman soldier walk up to you, point at you and say, "Pick it up." By law, you would have to carry that 1 mile. You couldn't object. You couldn't plead your case. By law, that Roman soldier had you for 1 mile. And I want you to take note that that was something that was of necessity. That was the law. It was a must. And rebellion would cause one great trouble. I doubt if Jesus ever said anything that would upset the Jews of that day anymore, though. That when he said, if an individual comes to you and by force of law says, you take that 1 mile, he said, what you do is you volunteer the second mile. You go more than what is expected of you. The second mile is simply doing a little more than what is required. I don't believe Jesus is always talking in the literal sense. Jesus is telling the people to do more than you're expected to do. And this could be, and rightly so, called the love mile. I want you to think about, it is impossible to have the happy life that Jesus talks about in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, unless one is willing to submit themselves to the law of Christ. And I want us to understand it's important that when we look at the teaching of Jesus, He has already told us what we need to do in order to be a citizen of His kingdom. Notice, if you will, in verse 38, that He said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." That's exactly right. That was the Old Testament law. That's found in Exodus 21, 24. And so they had heard that you could get revenge. That if someone knocked out your tooth, you had the right to knock out one of their teeth. But Jesus says, "I'm changing that law." Notice in verse 39, "But I tell you not to resist an evil person." Now, He's not talking about Satan. We recognize in James 4 and about verse 7, we're told to resist the evil one. But He could be talking about somebody that's a brother in Christ. He could be talking about someone in your own family. This individual acts in a way that's ungodly. He says, if they slap you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek. That doesn't mean here, hit me. But what He's saying is, you go the extra mile. Instead of seeking revenge, instead of seeking your pound of flesh, instead of satisfying your desire to get even, He said, what you do is show the extra mile of love. Then if you take your Bible in verse 40, notice He said, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, instead of fighting that, what does He say? Give him your cloak. Give a little bit more. And then in verse 41, the principle we've already showed. If a Roman soldier says, you take this pack 1 mile, He said, instead of rebelling, He said, show him love. Can you imagine a Roman soldier that had come up to you and said, carry this? And by law, you had to carry it. When you picked it up, you could have been grumbling and mumbling all the way. But could you imagine what a Roman soldier would think if you picked up that pack instead of grumbling and mumbling, you come to the mile marker instead of throwing it down and walking back, you said, no, I'll carry it enough. Have you ever thought that that's the attitude Christ is wanting His people, citizens of His kingdom, to display? Then He says in verse 42, give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow, do not turn away. He says, you give up your rights when you're a citizen of My kingdom. A lot of people today are so concerned about their rights of being, if someone does them wrong, of getting their pound of flesh, of getting even. And Jesus said, that's not the attitude you're to have. My citizens of My kingdom display a different attitude. And you know what, my friend? I think we can learn 4 things when we go the second mile. And what I want us to do is think about 4 observations we have from those who go the second mile. The first thing I want us to understand is when I voluntarily do something that I don't have to do, and I do it because I love my Lord and not because I feel like it's something that's expected of me, it will leave me with a happy feeling. You know what I see today, and I don't understand it? I see a lot of people who say they are members of the body of Christ, and they're miserable. They're unhappy. And yet, my friend, I'll tell you why they're unhappy. They think that Christianity is just a bunch of rules and they don't serve God out of love, but they just feel that they do it out of necessity. And when you do something because you feel that that's all that's expected and required of you and you don't do it out of love, then you're going to be miserable. Anytime we do something just because it's expected of us and we don't do it because we love somebody, then I'll tell you our motivating factor makes us become miserable. Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Luke in the 15th chapter, and I'll give you an example of this. In your Bible, in the book of Luke in the 15th chapter, you remember that the young son who'd gone into the far country and lived in sin had repented of his iniquity. And he said, I will arise and I will go to my father and I'll ask my father to make me a servant. He asked no more. All that he was asking is that his father would let him be a hired hand on the property. That his father would treat him like one of the servants and let him live on the land and let him take care of things. He's not asking for his sonship back. He's just asking for a servant role. But notice when he comes home, the father said, my son. He doesn't hold a grudge. Now compare him to the older brother. When he comes home, the older brother does hold a grudge. Now I want to ask you something. Who was the one who went away rejoicing? I'll tell you, the father did, because he went the second mile. The older brother stayed out in the country, or out in the field, missed the party, was filled with hate and bitterness, and with all that in his heart, he missed the joy of restoring one to their rightful position. Have you ever thought about how many people, they live their life and they feel like they have a right to hate? They have a right to have this, this attitude towards somebody else. And the Lord says, you don't have that right. If you're a citizen of my kingdom, you've surrendered that. And you need to be a person that goes the extra mile. You do more than what is expected of you. But then if you take your Bible in the book of Luke in the 10th chapter, you remember the Samaritan that came by the man who'd been robbed. After the priest and the Levite who should have helped had passed him by. The good Samaritan comes down. He sees the man wounded. He sees the man robbed. And he goes to help the man. And notice the Bible says he takes him to the inn and he pays for his stay. Then he goes the second mile. He tells the innkeeper, I'm going to come back this way. And if there's any more expense, I'll pay you. Now, who goes by with the good feeling? The one that bypassed him or the one that helped him? The one who took him to the inn and paid for his stay? And the one who said, I'm coming back this way. If there's anything left to owe, I'll pay. Who did more than what was required of him? If you have your Bible in the book of Luke in the 10th chapter, notice what Jesus says about that. In the book of Luke in the 10th chapter, in verse 36, Jesus is talking to the lawyer who had come to question Jesus about what is the great law. And Jesus had said, the great law is to love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor is yourself. And the man wanting to justify himself said, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells that parable. And Jesus asked the question in verse 36, so which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Was it the two that passed him by, or the man who did more than what was required of him? Now you think about that. That's revolutionary. What Jesus is saying is you've given up your rights. You're now a citizen of my kingdom. I'm the king. And if I'm your king, you're going to go the extra mile. But then if you take your Bible in the book of Matthew in the 25th chapter, I know that I'm to visit the sick, and I realize I'm to help the poor. But what a wonderful feeling to go that second mile. Do something that I'm not compelled to do. Do something because I love the individual. Do something because I love my Lord, and I want to leave an example for others. If you take your Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you remember in 2 Corinthians 8 chapter that Paul was talking about to the church at Corinth about the need he had in preaching the gospel. And he said in verse 2 that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. Remember the churches that gave to Paul's work out of their deep poverty. Here they were struggling. And yet they were so concerned about Paul's preaching the gospel that even though they were financially constrained, they still sent support. And Paul said what they did is they went the extra mile. They did something motivated by love. I'll tell you, that's a great lesson. When you're motivated by love, it will leave you with a happy feeling. When I do something just because I feel guilty for not doing it, then I may feel relief from the guilt. But when I do something because I love the Lord, and I may not particularly have warm feelings towards the other person, but I love my Lord, then I will go the extra mile. I'll tell you where I first learned about this in a really deep sense. There was a man down in Henderson, Tennessee, whose father had been murdered. I'll tell you how he was murdered. A man went into the local store he owned, it was a hardware store, and he had a list of things, and the last thing he had on that list was a hammer, and the man helped him pick everything. He took the hammer and he beat the man to death. You know what his son did? His son went to the prison that this man was in that had beat his father to death, and he preached to him the gospel, and he was converted. I'll tell you something. You know what most of us would say? Good, he's in prison. Let him burn in hell. That's not the attitude to have. What did he do? He went the extra mile. When I was at Florida College, there was a man who came and he preached at the chapel. And he had AIDS. And he contacted the AIDS by being a homosexual. And I'll never forget when afterwards we had gone back to the student center to get our mail, I overheard somebody say, good, he's getting what he deserves. I want to tell you something, my friend. If we live this life wanting everybody to get what they deserve, you better watch out for your soul. Because we all deserve eternal torment. And we better be thankful God doesn't give us what we deserve. But God gives us what we need. And I'll tell you what we need to be is motivated by love to do the will of God. Because He was motivated by love to save us. But the second thing I want us to think about is that brings out the best of others. The second mile will call others to bring out good in them. Open your Bible to the Roman letter and the 12th chapter. And look at what Paul said in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, notice the statement that is made in verse 20. In verse 20, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now, I want to stop for just a moment. This teaches that it brings them to shame for the way they've lived. The purpose is not to heap this on them to hurt them. I've had one lady, I remember one time she said, I'm going to treat him so good just to heap those coals on his head, and he'll feel bad for the way he treated me. You're still seeking revenge. No, that's not how you do it. You're doing good so that they will change. The purpose is not to bring harm to them, but in going the second mile in love, it will help to bring out the best in them. Wouldn't that be wonderful if parents learned that? To go the second mile in loving their children, and that would mean even disciplining them when they need it. Not out of anger, not out of just getting revenge, but because we seek for their good. Wouldn't it be wonderful if preachers put the right example before others? And we went the second mile out of love, not doing visiting and things just because that's what the brethren expect, but because we love the souls of others and we love the God of heaven, and thus we seek to praise the God of heaven. Wouldn't it be wonderful if elders in leading went the second mile? They did a little more than required. It would bring out the best in members. Have you ever thought about, though, you going the second mile? That's funny to me. A lot of people want everybody else to go the second mile, but they're not willing to go the second mile. It's funny, we expect it of others, but we're not willing to do it ourselves. And you've got to be willing to do what you expect of others. I've had a lot of people call me and they want certain things, and they want me to go the extra mile, but they won't go the extra mile. Now, I can't allow them to influence me. I go the extra mile because I love God. But you ought to go the extra mile because you love God. But that brings up something else. When we go the extra mile, it lightens life's burdens. I want you to think about in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 that it bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. How many times in life have I needed someone to help me? How many times in life have I needed someone to go that extra mile with me? I think about people that have walked that second mile with me, and I'll tell you, I'll never forget them. Now, some people may forget you. But I'll tell you what we need in this world is people who go the extra mile. I'll tell you what it would do. It would help save a home. It would help save local churches. It would help save this nation of ours. How many of us go the second mile in our responsibility at home? How many of us go the second mile at the local church? How many times has Brother Richardson got up here and tried to preach for people to come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and someone says, are you compelling me to be there Sunday? Are you trying to force me? And they think that it's a necessity. I'll tell you, my friend, the reason we should be here is because we want to be here. We're motivated by love, that we love God, and we want to be with His saints. I don't feel like I have to be here. I want to be here to praise my God. I want to be here to encourage my brethren. And when you're not here Sunday night and Wednesday night, you may think that doesn't affect you. I'll tell you who it does affect me and affects others, because that's a discouragement to us, because it shows us that you have something else that is more important to you. And what could be more important than worshiping God and serving God and putting God first? I should want to go that extra mile. If you're forced to be here and you feel that you're out of necessity here, I'll tell you what, my friend, you'll never have the joy of being a Christian. If it's a forced Christianity, then my friend, then I'll tell you, it's like going that first mile. You'll mumble and grumble the whole way. But if you go out of love, I tell you, my friend, it makes all the difference in the world. I think about Ruth Bell. Ruth missed for a while because of her health. But I'll tell you something. When I see a 96-year-old lady do everything she could to be here, and others who do the same thing, we've got members here who are hurting, and they're here. Brother Frank's had surgery. He's here. He looks like a mafia leader, but he's here. But I'll tell you what. Some people stub their toe. They're out for 6 months. Now, they can go everywhere else in Shovel. They can do everything else they want to do, but they miss every opportunity they get. I'll tell you what, that shows me one thing. You're not willing to go the second mile for the Lord. I think about the fact that God was willing to go the second mile for me. Could there ever be any doubt in your mind that God went the second mile? In John 3:16, when God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Can you see the nail prints in His hands? That's Jesus going the second mile. In Luke 23:34, when He's on the cross and He says, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. The very ones who spit on Him and beat Him and mocked Him. And He wants them to be made right with God. And the very fact that He's on the cross, He's dying for the ones who put Him there. And in Acts 2, many of them came to Him. That's God going the extra mile. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, look at the statement that Peter makes. In verse 9, when he said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise about the coming of His Son, as some count slackness, but as long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How many times has God gone the second mile for you? The only reason this earth still stands today, He's went the second mile. He's been patient with us. Some here need to make their life right. They've never been baptized into Christ. They're continuing to live in the world. I want to know, what more does God have to do to show His love for you? Look at the cross. See that He's went the second mile. And then you go the extra mile in your life and do things motivated by love. And I'll tell you what it'll bring you. Joy. You won't have a joyless Christianity. There's no such thing with people who give their life to God out of love. Because no sacrifice is too great to our King. And there's some who's not living right. You need to make your life right and realize we surrender our rights to God. Because we are going to go the second mile. When we go the second mile, we go out of love. Love is not manipulated. Love is not forced. You see, love is a decision. Love is of the will. Sometimes we talk about falling in love. That's that emotional feeling we get when we talk to somebody we think is good looking or something. And that's one thing. That's not talking about Bible love. Bible love is a choice. I choose to love. That's why God can command me to love my enemies. It's a choice I make. And I go that extra mile. Because if I want to go to heaven, I'm going to follow my Master. And my Master went the second mile. I want to ask you a question. Have you gone the second mile for God? And have you put the proper example before others? And have you showed God's love? If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come.